And welcome, especially if you're listening online or those actually watching over Zoom as we trial this morning broadcasting the service over Zoom. My name's Ben Thorndike. I'm the minister here. I'll be leading us through our service. Ian Roberts, a member of All Saints, will be preaching later as we begin a new series in the Book of Acts this morning. Each Sunday we've been back, I've said we're already growing and changing, and the same is true for this week too. There's lots in the news sheet. Can I please encourage us to read the news sheets? There's lots happening, lots of details in there, more than we can go through on Sunday mornings. Just a few brief things. On growing and changing, this morning, as I mentioned, we're trialling Zoom to broadcast into the church hall and out to people's homes. And we have a few familiar faces testing things out this morning. But other than enabling those who really cannot come to the building to watch at home rather than just listen, it also means we can allocate spaces in the church hall to people, which means we really, really hope from next week that we should be able to accommodate everyone who wants to come to church each week without saying sorry to some, and more space for visitors. So do pray on, particularly for the tech today. A marriage enrichment course Jane and I are leading across All Saints and St. Richard's. Let me give you a definition of marriage enrichment. Marriage enrichment takes place when couples deem their marriage of primary importance. These couples are intentional about their marital growth and choose to do something about it. Marriage enrichment is not for struggling marriages, but something for all of us who are married if we see our marriage of primary importance and want to grow in it. So come and explore more about how your marriage might grow to serve the Lord and one another better in the weeks, months and years to come. Again, more information in the news sheet about that. Also, Christianity Explored on Tuesday evenings from the 13th of October for 7 weeks. For anyone who wants to think about the meaning of life, the Christian faith, that might be non-Christians interested in the Christian faith. It might be Christians who want to refresh on some of the basics. Think who you could be inviting. And again, more information and bookings on the news sheet. And finally, as I'm saying all the time to everyone I meet and talk to, keep taking this moment to grab the opportunities for fellowship and ministry as we move through the term. Please speak to me if you have thoughts, ideas, if you want to get stuck in with what's happening, what's planned, or if you've got fresh ideas beyond that, I'd love to hear from you. Praying is key though. So let's take a moment as we begin in thanks and praise with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day when we have the chance to come together to worship you. We pray that our time this morning might encourage our hearts in you and be an encouragement to one another here together, that you may be glorified in and through us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We can't sing, but we can still participate as we worship God together. Other than praying, our first act of worship this morning is the public reading of God's word together. We're going to read some words from Psalm 121, antiphonally. That's a great word, alternatively. And let's stand if you're able. I'll read the white, and if you guys can follow with the yellow. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Do take your seats. My help, our help, comes from the Lord. But we don't always turn to him for help. We can trust in our own abilities to walk through life rather than trusting in God, in Christ, for which it's right to say sorry to God. So we have some words of confession, lots to bring to God, Let us confess our sins to Almighty God together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our fellow man in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And when we say sorry to God, God promises to forgive us. God says through the prophet Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, though your sins are scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Jesus' blood removes the stain of our sin before God. Jesus died so we can have new life in him. And trusting in Jesus, he gives us a job to do. All very pertinent as we start our series in Acts this morning. Marilyn's going to lead us in our first hymn, Facing a Task Unfinished. Do feel free to stand, feel free to sit, to hum, to sway, to be still, whatever you want to do, except very sadly, please don't sing along with Marilyn.
Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know thee renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. Where other lords beside thee hold their unhindered sway, where forces that defied thee defy thee still today, with none to heed their crying for life and love and light. Unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. We bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives, proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message ours, fired by the same ambition. To thee we yield our powers. O Father who sustained them, O Spirit who inspired, Saviour whose love constrained them to toil and zeal untired. From cowardice defend us, from lethargy awake, forth on thine errand send us to labour for thy sake.
Do you take your seats? So lovely to have a live musician with us, even though we can't sing. Great to hear. Thank you. We're starting a new series in the book of Acts this morning. Acts is part two of Luke's gospel, Dr. Luke's account of Jesus' life and ministry on earth. Dr. Luke kept writing part two, the story of Jesus' ministry continuing on earth after he'd gone up to heaven. And Jesus left his disciples, his followers, a job to do. I wonder if our hymn helped give us a clue. Hands up if you think you know what our job as Christians is to do. Hands up if you think you know. That's very limited for a Sunday morning. Let's see. This is the point of this all-age section together. Let's see if we can move us on in our understanding of our job as Christians. Maybe we're just shy this morning. Don't worry about that. I've got another clue to help us, thankfully. I think we might need it this morning. I have got a present here. And in spite of what Wendy thought, this is not, sadly, a gift for Wendy. Jesse, can you see our present there? This is not just a children's talk. This is for all ages. So I'm going to open my present and I'm going to see what's inside it. Let me see what I've got. Ooh. Now, Marilyn might have liked this morning. Let me see what it's got. This might mess with our PA system, but let's see. It could well be.
Oh.
Hello? 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 Can everybody hear me? Now, this is a great present, isn't it? Is that hurting people's hearing aids? Sorry about that. There we go. We're okay. What a great present this is. I could sing, well, I can't sing my heart, but maybe when I get home. Do you remember Catchphrase on TV? Do you remember? You probably don't if you're under the age of 40. It's Say What You See. So Catchphrase was Say What You See. So I'm going to try that now with us here. Here we go. Which way do you read? Left to right. So let's go Say What You See. So I'm holding up in each hand. You've got to put them together. Say what you see. Say what you see. Anybody want to have a guess at that? Hands up if you think you know. Our job as Christians, just to keep us focused, this is not all about presents and microphones, sparkly pink ones. Our job as Christians, chatterbox. Chatterbox. That was a good one, wasn't it? That was a good catchphrase. Chatterboxing. Jesus left his disciples with the job to do of telling the world about him, to be chatterboxes about Jesus. And Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to be with them and help them, seeing as he'd gone back up to heaven. Let me put these down now. Acts is the story about the Holy Spirit and the disciples taking the word of Jesus out to the world, chatterboxing about Jesus. But we're not starting at the beginning of Acts this term. We started that last year, then we had a break. What's happened so far? Five words for us on the screens. So five words. Acts is about chatterboxing and our job as Christians. Five words to bring us up to chapter 6, where we're going to start today. First word is Christ. Jesus' disciples are called Christians because they're followers of Jesus Christ. Second word, big. The job of being chatterboxes actually got them into big trouble. Followers of Jesus Christ who got into big trouble for being chatterboxes about Jesus. Next word, stop. Powerful leaders tried to stop them. It was so dangerous in Jerusalem that many Christians actually left. That's our fourth word. Many Christians actually left. And finally, they left not to hide away, but they left to go and be chatterboxes everywhere they went. And that's our last word. Everywhere they went to tell more people about Jesus. So if you want to know what Acts is about, it's about the word of Jesus going out. Chatterboxes is the key word. And if you want to know where we're up to this morning, as Ian comes to preach to us, those words, followers of Jesus Christ who... Where did we go? Followers of Jesus Christ, who had the job of being big chatterboxes. Powerful leaders tried to stop them, so they left Jerusalem to go and be chatterboxes somewhere else. Christ, big, stop, left, chatterboxes. Five words to remind us of our job as Christians and where we're up to as we read about the first Christians doing that job. We're going to hear more about that story as Ian comes to preach. It's our time looking more into God's word now. Let me lead us in a prayer before the reading and preaching of God's word. Father God, we pray that as we hear your word read and preached now, your spirit would take it, plant it deep in our hearts, and grow in us the fruit of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read Acts 7. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 7, I'm going to read verses 37. To 53, and Ian's going to come and preach to us. Acts 7, 37 to 53. So we're in the middle of Stephen, one of the first Christians, speech to the Jewish leaders who are not happy that he's been chatterboxing about Jesus. Stephen says, "This is the Moses who told the Israelites, 'God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your own people.' He was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our ancestors, and he received living words to pass on to us. But our ancestors refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. They told Aaron, 'Make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him.' That was the time they made an idol in the form of a calf. They brought sacrifices to it and reveled in what their own hands had made. But God turned away from them and gave them over to the worship of the sun, moon and stars. This agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. 'Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings for 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel? You have taken up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your god Rephan, the idols you made to worship. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Our ancestors had the tabernacle of the covenant law with them in the wilderness. It had been made as God directed Moses, according to the pattern that he had seen. After receiving the tabernacle, our ancestors under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool.' 'What kind of house will you build for me?' says the Lord. 'Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through the angels, but have not obeyed it.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Ben. I might as well tear up my sermon and go home because he's actually done it already. Around AD 62 to 64, a man appeared in Rome who was causing a lot of problems. His name was Paul. He was a Jewish rabbi and he'd appealed to the emperor. And one of the things that people were asking was, why is he here? Why is he here doing this sort of thing? Why has he appealed to the emperor? And it was one of the reasons why Luke wrote his second book. Luke's two books deal with the context of the coming of Christ and in the spread of the Christian message. It answers the question, how did this obscure little Jewish sect end up with converts all over the Roman world? In Acts 6, where we're looking today, it's still AD 33, and the community is only based in Jerusalem. But Christ's plan was to get his people on the road, to go to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, according to Acts 1:8. And it starts in a very odd way with the persecution of a Christian, Stephen. So let's have a look at the accusations that were levelled against Stephen. Stephen was one of the servants organising food distribution. He was doing an administrative task, and yet he is described as being full of grace and power. He performed signs and wonders. So it wasn't just the apostles who were called to do these things and to speak about Jesus. It was that everybody, even though they might have been doing a different sort of task. He was full of grace and power. He was attacked, verse 9, by the synagogue of the freedmen. Now, it's thought that there were hundreds of different synagogues in Jerusalem at that time. Often little congregations with their own particular teaching and lots of different denominations, say, within Judaism. And that's how Christianity, those early Christians, may have been thought of by the people around about them. You see, we forget so often that those early Christians were in fact Jews. All of them were Jews. They were Jews by birth or by conversion, and they were gathering together as a group. And although the leaders were antagonistic to them, Luke tells us that they were highly regarded by many of the people. So we find a confrontation here with one particular group, this fanatical group, the freedmen, who would probably emancipated Jewish slaves from Cilicia, which by an odd coincidence is where Saul came from. Because they couldn't stand up to his wisdom or the Spirit's power, we're told in 6 verses 10 to 14, they start a smear campaign. They make serious accusations. There are two accusations. The fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place, the temple, and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. And it may have been that Stephen repeated the words that Jesus used when he said, "Destroy this temple, the temple of my body, and I will raise it up again." Now, the Jews had completely misunderstood and misrepresented what Jesus had said. And they did the same with his servant. And if they did that then, people today will misrepresent and misunderstand what we say. Have you ever noticed when somebody appears to be preaching the gospel, the response by people is often to take a little thing that they say and blow it up out of all proportion rather than concentrating on the big picture that people are trying to tell them. At this point, Stephen, his face is shining like the face of an angel. And Luke is deliberately being ironic here, because this is how Moses is described when he came down from the mountain with the law. They said Stephen was speaking against Moses, and here was Stephen exactly like Moses. So the answer that Stephen deals to them, to these twin accusations about criticizing the law of Moses and the temple, he does this by recalling the early history of Israel until the Egyptian captivity, verses 1 to 38 of chapter 7. And he includes the story of Moses because what he actually says is he reminds them that the Israelites actually went against what Moses wanted to do. He reminds them of the Israelite who questioned Moses' authority in verse 27. And he says, this is the shape of things to come, the whole people of Israel going against Moses. This Moses as well also foretold that a prophet would arise, verse 37. That prophet was Jesus. "You criticize me," says Stephen, "but who really disobeyed Moses? It was our ancestors." And he says in verses 39 to 43, that's why God turned against them and exiled them to Babylon. So he deals with this whole attack on him about following Moses, and he turns the whole thing back on them, and he now turns to the temple and speaking against the temple. What he points out to them from the history of Israel is that God actually ordained a tabernacle, a tent. It was David who wanted to build the temple, which was carried out by his son Solomon. But God had chosen a tent, because a tent is portable. He wanted to share his people's journey. And John in the New Testament tells us that Jesus came to make his tent among us, to travel with us. God is bound to his people and not to a place. Men were behind the temple. God wanted a tent. The Jews had forgotten this. Unaccountably, they revered the present temple, which was still a building site at this time. And they wanted to praise it, but it was actually built by someone they despised. Herod, who was behind the temple here, was a fake Jew and a quisling in their eyes. So Stephen sums up the history of Israel in verses 51 to 53. It's a pitiful story. resistance, disbelief, and the rejection of God, and the persecution of the prophets. Furthermore, their adherence to the temple belittles the Lord who dwells in the highest heavens, which he himself has made, verses 48 to 50. So Stephen's verdict on them is shocking. Their rebellion culminated with the murder of God's Holy One, just as they had killed the very prophets who foretold his coming. No wonder the Sanhedrin were really angry, were furious, verse 54, about this. In the end, the fanatics' attack on him was utterly futile. In AD 70, a mere 40 years later, within the lifetime of some of those present, the Roman army would come in and they would suppress the Jewish religion and fulfill the promise of Jesus in Matthew 21. Do you see all these things, he said? I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Centuries before that, Daniel had also prophesied this event, describing it as a flood, and so it was. It came as a metaphysical tsunami. It wasn't only the buildings which were laid waste, but also the very foundations of Jewish spirituality and culture. The temple, the priesthood, the daily sacrifices, all wiped out. Now, by that time, by AD 70, the Christians had already moved out of Jerusalem and were out in the world speaking to people. Those Jews who survived what happened to Jerusalem had to set about rebuilding their faith without all these important things. So let's now just turn to the assassination of Stephen. And I use the word assassination because it wasn't legal. Virtually everywhere else in the New Testament, apart from some of John's visions in the book of Revelation, where Jesus is actually sitting at God's right hand throughout the New Testament, his redemptive work finished. But in verses 55 to 56, Stephen sees Jesus standing up. Why do you stand? You stand to welcome somebody. And here is Jesus welcoming Stephen, even before he's put to death. Jesus promised for every believer, including Stephen, that there was room in his Father's house for them. He has welcomed those who have departed from us, and he looks to welcome us as well. He stands to welcome Stephen. But this vision enrages the crowd, verse 57. They had put Jesus to death for blasphemy. How dare Stephen say that he is at God's right hand, the ultimate place of authority? They covered their ears. They were yelling. They were roaring like animals as they descended upon Stephen. And what they did to him was completely illegal. The Romans had taken away the right of the Jews to inflict capital punishment. That's why the Jewish leaders had to take Jesus to the Romans to have him executed. So what they did to Stephen was a lynching. In Jewish law, if you were accusing somebody and they were found guilty, you were allowed to stone them. You, as a witness, were allowed to cast the first stones. And that's what these witnesses did in verse 58. They took off their coats, they laid them at Saul's feet as they stripped down to stone Jesus. Stephen, thank you. Saul never forgot this, and he deeply regretted it, the laying of these coats at his feet as a witness to this work. Stephen's final prayer mirrors the words of Jesus on the cross. It's all about forgiveness. And it's about acceptance, readiness to be taken to be with the Lord. So here we are at 8, verse 2. The church is now forced out of Jerusalem, driven on its journey across the world. But Stephen had hit on a marvellous truth in his defence. Just as God journeyed with his ancient people, he would now, by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, lead his people to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now we may feel as if we have been hit by a tidal wave over these past months, and that has shaken some of our foundations perhaps. Certainly our reliance on buildings as they were and traditions. But what we have to do is say, just as God led his people out then, he's leading his people now. God is on the march now. May we walk in step with him. Amen.
Pat's going to come and lead us in prayer.
Shall we pray? Almighty and most powerful God, we praise you for the truths of your word. Even though, our Father, at times they make us feel uncomfortable. We praise you for people like your servant Stephen, a man full of faith, who spoke boldly for you to the religious authorities of his day, clearly proclaiming the truths of your word. Then, as now, many did not like it and persecuted him for it, as they persecute many today. So, our Father, we lift to you this morning our brothers and sisters in Christ who suffer for their faith around the world, facing, as Stephen did, trumped-up charges, untrue, but they are against him and against them, imprisoned, they're ill-treated, and for no reason other than that they believe and trust in you. And whilst we do praise you, Father, that some have been released during this time of COVID pandemic, we long that you would bring a permanent end to their suffering and pray for an awakening at this time to the truth of Jesus, to the truth of your word. May the hearts and lives of all in authority around the world be changed, and systems and structures opposed to your people and your truth brought down, so that we are all free to worship you and proclaim you as you deserve, and that imprisonment for one's faith would be a thing of the past. Lord Jesus, we are aware that only you can bring this about. So we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. Please bring your kingdom in for the praise of your glory. Amen. Our Father, we lift our nation to you, and we realise that here, even here, your word is not believed. Your word is ridiculed. We see it all the time in the media. Your name is not honoured, but often used as a swear word. Father, forgive us when we fail to be courageous, and we are fearful of rebuking those who take your name in vain. Please help us through your Spirit to be bold in our time and make a stand for you, proclaiming you and not shrinking back from confronting evil wherever we find it. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, our Father, we lift our government to you, who seem bent on going against international laws and breaking the agreement signed earlier this year with the EU. Our Father, we are so saddened by this and long that you would be working in power, bringing your righteous justice to bear in this situation. We pray for a change of heart, for common sense and good practice to prevail. We pray for your good and perfect will to be done in this. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, in a time of silent prayer, we lift to our Father those people known to us who are sick. We may think this morning of refugees around the world, especially those in Lesbos, and the way they are suffering at this time. We may think of the COVID spikes and of the giving thanks that the Oxford vaccine programme can resume after being halted. So in a time of silence, may we pray as the Lord leads us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even think to ask, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Pat, so much for leading us. Let me add one more word for our prayers. News of Brian Latimer. We know Brian and Carol Latimer this morning. Well, Brian's had food poisoning. He's been in hospital quite seriously. This morning I found out from Philip, who emailed me, that he's back in hospital with a high temperature. He's pretty wiped out. His body is weak from the radiotherapy he's been going through as well. Do pray on for Brian, for his health, for his strength, for his healing. Pray on for Carol. Pray for the family, that they'd know the peace and comfort that comes from their faith in the Lord Jesus at this time. And pray that the Lord would show us how we can care for them. So let me add those to our prayers for Brian and the family for these coming days. Before we share together in the Lord's Supper, a quick reminder on COVID logistics. We're allowed to serve bread only, not wine. Which is fine. The bread and wine are symbols of a greater reality, the body and blood of Jesus. The bread has real sustenance for us as we receive it by faith, but we don't need either to add to our salvation. So it's okay just to have the bread this morning. If you want to receive, please hold your hand out and I will drop the bread into your hand. I won't say anything in the moment, but do please feel free to remain standing or to sit once you've received the bread. So let's stand now together. And the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, we thank you most of all for your Son. His name is Jesus, Saviour, because he saves his people from their sins. He gave up all the glory of heaven and became a servant. He lived his life humbly, submitting to you, his Father, and obeyed you by dying on the cross. You raised him to the highest place in heaven and gave him the name above every name, there at the bottom of the screen, Jesus Christ is Lord. All beings in heaven and on earth will fall at his feet and proclaim to your glory, Jesus Christ is Lord. So we join with angels and all the company of heaven, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Praise fills highest heaven. Do take your seats. Praise and thanks to you, Father in heaven. On the night before he died, your Son Jesus Christ took bread. He gave thanks, broke the bread and said, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup of wine and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me. So with thankfulness and joy we say, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us as we remember Jesus' sacrifice for us made once for all on the cross. Feed us that we may live and grow in him. Through him we worship you, mighty Father, in songs of everlasting praise. Praise and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this wine, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. As we share in the Lord's Supper together, Marilyn will play in the background. If you want to use the time to reflect quietly on what we're doing together, that's great. Though it won't be silent, we're here together all ages, which is a joy and a privilege. If you are trusting in the Lord Jesus, if you've been baptised and regularly receive the bread and the wine, you're welcome to hold out your hand to receive. That may not be for everyone here, which is fine. If that isn't you, please don't feel awkward about keeping your hands by your side. If the Lord's Supper isn't for you, it's better to do those things. This is a meal for those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, who are committed to living for him in spite of our sinfulness, and who are united and at peace with one another. The Bible warns against receiving the bread and the wine if that's not how we come together this morning. We are urged to examine ourselves before receiving. And before I sort my hands and my mask out, let me lead us in a prayer. Father, we pray that each of us here might be trusting in the Lord Jesus all the days of our lives, delighting to live for him forever and knowing the peace we have with you through him. Amen. So let's stand. Eat and drink in remembrance that Jesus died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you.
still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. In faith receive from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place.
Do take your seats. We've nearly come to the end of our time together. I hope you're encouraged to be here. A reminder of the opportunity to chat about our sermon, the service and other things over Zoom at 12 o'clock today. And one final opportunity to praise God in song now. All as before, stand or sit, especially if you need to stretch your legs, just don't actually sing. But worship God in song as Marilyn leads us. O church, arise.
Church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. An army bold, battle cry is love, reaching out to those in darkness. Our call to war, to love the captive soul, but to raise against the captor, and with the sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. When faced with trial on every side, we know the outcome is secure, and Christ will have the price for which he died, an inheritance of nations. Come see the cross where love and mercy meet, as the Son of God is stricken. Then see his foes lie crushed beneath his feet, for the conqueror has risen. And as the stone is rolled away, for Christ emerges from the grave, this victory march continues till the day every eye and heart shall see. So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. With Christ we stand in glory.
Final prayer together with responses in yellow. You believe that by his dying Jesus destroyed death forever. Amen. You live by faith in Jesus, the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. Amen. May he send you out to glory in his cross and to live no longer for yourselves but for Jesus, who died and was raised to life for us. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you now and always. Amen.